Love you. I'm glad there's a lot of love in this church. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, one verse, verse 8. I am not going to preach long tonight. And I do love you, though. I just want to give you a couple thoughts. The next couple services I'll be preaching, we'll be preaching on Christmas. And my retirement's getting close. And I thought I'd just give you a few thoughts from my heart. Well, I like that song. Yours was beautiful, but that was special, wasn't it? 1 Peter 5:8, let's stand for the reading of God's word. If anybody sees my grandson Luke, I have $10 to give him that he can put on the baskets. He wants to win something. I told him I'd give him $10. I hope he wins. He's like his grandpa. He don't like to lose. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We've got an enemy today. We need to be aware of that enemy. I want to just give you a couple sobering thoughts tonight. It's going to be more personal than anything. I just thought we'd have a nice little family night here tonight. Kind of touches me they sing that song. Brother Bobby, why don't you lead us in prayer? Bobby Edwards. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to say, even though I'm retiring in a few weeks, we're not leaving. We're not going to leave. Still going to be here, still be shouting, still be amening. Once in a while, I'll be preaching, not all the time, but once in a while. And so you're not getting rid of me. I'm just making some room for the younger men to come forward and do the work of God. I know Pastor Dave, I'm so proud of him. He's going to do a tremendous job. He really is coming in. I came here when I was 41 years old. 1990, August 26th, and real jet black hair. You never saw me then, Josh. And I was only about, I was probably about 190 pounds when I came here. But still a good looker. Boy, somehow time changes a person, doesn't it? But I'm glad that I'm going to get to spend the last of my life with you folks. I want to just give you some sobering thoughts today. And I'm really planning not, I don't want to keep you long. I just want to give you something out of my heart tonight. Today is December 7th. And I thought about the date, how it played a role in my life and in yours also. We talked a little bit this morning about Pearl Harbor. 73 years ago, December 7th, 1941, the Japanese Air Force bombed Pearl Harbor. And they destroyed many of the ships that were there in the Pacific Fleet there. Around 2,400, a little over 2,400 people were killed that day. I think there was, I might be wrong in this, but I think there was around 1,183, I think, I'm not sure. Over 1,100 men were killed on the Arizona itself. And I remember, with Pastor Davey mentioned this morning, years ago you sent me to Pearl, you sent us on a vacation to Hawaii. And we went to Pearl Harbor while we were there. I remember sitting in that auditorium and watching on that screen about the literal fight at Pearl Harbor, the Japanese planes bombing, and literally seeing our people being blown up and torn to shreds. And I love America. And boy, it just, as I watched that, it ripped my heart. When the film ended, we all walked out the side door up to get on the boat that took us over. No one, when you saw that, you didn't even say a word. Your heart was so moved. I can't describe to you how much my heart was moved. We got on that ship and we went across, and then we looked down on the Arizona, and my heart moved more. And I watched those oil, little bubbles of oil coming up. It reminded me of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit. How do you get that? I don't know, but I thought oil and I thought Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to anybody? Because they can't stop it from, it just keeps coming up. You can't stop it. You can't stop the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And I was like Pastor Dave. I was in tears and speechless. If you ever go to Hawaii, you make sure you go to Pearl Harbor. Because the greatest thing in Hawaii is Pearl Harbor. And I remember there's tears dropping and watching that oil come out. And I was thinking about how you can't put the oil of God out. Is there oil in your, I brought messages called, is there oil in your lamp? I said, man, keep the oil coming. Amen. They can't stop it. Just like they can't stop God. And I remember getting back on that charter, that little ferry. It was like it was a boat, held about 35 people, and we came back. And I remember just walking off the platform and standing out in this open area, and Brother Donnie, I was so moved and so overwhelmed, and I was in tears. And I hope no one gets offended by this, but I saw a lot of Japanese people all around me. And by the way, it's over now. But at that moment, Brother Mike, my heart was racing about what I just saw and experienced. And to be honest with you, I told the pastor, I said, what are these Japanese people doing here? Are they making fun of us? I don't believe they were, but at the time, I was so emotional. How many understand what I'm trying to tell you? And I kept seeing, I got more mad, and I have a temper sometimes. Not always, but I do have a temper sometimes. And then I was a lot younger. I was probably around 50 years old then, somewhere in that area. I could still, if I had to, I could smack somebody. Now I'm just no crippled up guy. Now I just have to go get a pistol and shoot him. Amen? But you never change, preacher. But I was so moved. I kept seeing all those Japanese people. By the way, they got a right to be there just like me. But I took it as an offense. I love America. And I remember going right up to a bunch of them. And I, thank God Pastor Dave got me, and thank God the police there didn't put me in jail. Because I let it fly. I went, I love America! I'm proud to be an American! I love America! What do you think of that? Those little Japanese people, huh? In other words, he's flipped his lid. And I was so violent. I'm glad they didn't say nothing. They probably, who's that? And I guarantee you my face was beat red. I was thinking about telling Sean. My face was probably no doubt. They said, where is that wild man coming from? You get to see it every week. But how about the first time you see it? Pastor Dave came over and put his hand on my shoulder. He said, I love you, Dad. Come on, now let's walk out here. And we walked out. The Japanese people didn't say a word to me. And maybe they were offended, I don't know. But I sure love America. And I'll always fight for America. I don't care how old or how young you are, you ought to have a heart for America. Those 2,400 people, those true Americans will never forget that day of Pearl Harbor. Americans learned a great lesson that day. Never put your guard down. Did you hear me? Christians, we should never put our spiritual guard down. There was warnings of that oncoming attack, but they went unheeded. Pearl Harbor could have escaped a lot of the damage had we heeded to the warnings that came before. A lot of people knew about it, they just didn't believe it. By the way, they came on a day that it was on a Sunday, December 7th, 1941. It came on a Sunday, and like Pastor Dave, people were just getting out of worship services and things like that on there. And you don't expect on a sunny day in Hawaii, on a Sunday, for people to bomb you. They were pretty wise to pick that day, weren't they? 2,400 people died that day, or maybe more than that. Many could have been saved, though, had the warning been sent out. Many would have been saved if the warning would have not have gone unnoticed. If we just would have gave a warning, but it went unnoticed, they would have been more alert. I'm getting to my message now. If the folks at Pearl Harbor would have been more alert, more vigilant. How many are still with me? That tragedy might have been avoided somewhat. That word vigilant in 1 Peter 5:8 means to keep watch, to keep awake, to be watchful. Bethel Baptist Church, until Jesus comes, we need to be vigilant at this church. We need to keep watch. We need to be watchful for what's going around. Amen. And we need to be watchful for souls going to hell and for the things of God. I noted this. In our daily Christian's life, we need to be watchful and vigilant for our walk with God. You know what? Pastor David said something about it this morning. Our walk with God, do we think about it? We need to be watchful for that walk. We need to be mindful about how our walk with it. Right now, if you had to put your scale on hot, medium, or cold on your walk with God, where would the scale go? Would it go over in the cold and the blue, or would it just go in the yellow in the middle, or would it be really fiery red for God and hot? I hope we're not like the Book of Revelation, lukewarm, where God spews it out. Amen. I noted this. We need to be careful to have a close walk with God. Don't take God in your Bible for granted. Don't take God in your Bible for granted. You want to make this church a great church? Every one of us ought to be in our Bible every day. Every one of us ought to have a walk with God, a fellowship with God, a time where we commune with God every day of our life. Some kind of time. We need to be careful to keep a close walk with our Heavenly Father. Don't take God and the Bible for granted. Don't take your spouse for granted. You say, what would they have to do with church? A lot. If a family breaks, you think they're in church? We need strong families so we can have strong churches. Broken homes is a broken church. We need to take care of our spouse and don't take them for granted. And our children also. Don't take our children for granted. We you know what? Sometimes we're the smartest and the dumbest people on the face of the earth. We'll be smart on some things, but the most important things many times we'll overlook. Don't overlook your wife. Don't overlook your children. Don't overlook your husband. How many are still with me? Hey, you that have been married for a long time, when's the last time you told that one that you're married to you love her? Oh, preacher, she knows I do. Well, it'd be nice if you told her once in a while and really meant it. Maybe even give her a hug and a smooch. Amen? I'm starting to walk a little bit better. There for a while. I can actually catch Rosie now. Give me them smooches. You know what? You say, we don't do that no more. Well, why don't you? That's the trouble with families. You quit loving each other and caring about each other and being concerned. You know what? That's why our families are falling apart. You need to tell those children you love them. You need to hold them, hug them, and say, you're important to my life. They need to hear that. I was thinking about Michael. I was watching this morning. I'm really proud of you, Michael. You've blessed this preacher. I've watched you grow up as a young little kid. Now you're getting to be a young man. And I was thinking, I don't want to embarrass him, but I'm sure glad Brother Josh, God used Josh and Brother Josh in your life. Because you know what? Had he not took an interest in your life, I don't know where you'd be right now. You probably wouldn't have been in church. And your whole future's before you. And just how, look how God's used this couple to shape and form your life for the future. It's pretty special. Don't forget that. Amen? Yeah, there's a little boy that comes to our school. Kind of a chunky little boy. He's a kind of a big boy. We were talking about, he looks just like Stevie DeSalms. Jordan. Stevie DeSalms called me. He's going to, if he can get off for vacation, they're going to come in that last week. They're going to come on that last Sunday. They're going to be with us on that last day, him and his family. But Stevie DeSalms, when he was a little kid, looked identical to that Jordan. Identical. I can't wait to show him to Steve. Say, look at you. Only Jordan is not near as ornery as Stevie DeSalms. We need to be watchful for God's will in our life. We need to make sure that we don't take our pastor, Pastor Dave, and church members for granted. Oh, no, don't take people for granted. Let them know. Let them know you care about them. Let them know you appreciate them. He brings a message that steps on your toes. Say, thank you, I needed that. If he gets you a message that gets you mad, say, thank you, I need to get mad. But we need to let, and those our families in our church, let them know. That one fellow that got saved here, Mike, the big fellow, Kevin, and he's been coming to church every Sunday morning, sometimes another, but mainly on Sunday morning. And I went up to him this morning, I said, I want you to know, Kevin, I'm really glad you're coming to church. He's saved, baptized, member of the church, I think, now. But I just want to let him know, Mike, that I was glad that he was in church. You need to let people know, man, I'm glad to see you. Everyone here should have someone that say, boy, I am really glad you're here. Amen? We need to be watchful. Watchfulness. We need to have watchfulness for God's will in our life. What is God's will in your life? We need to have watchfulness for it. Do you really want God's will? Listen, Satan would and desired to destroy our walk with God. If there's anything God wants, Satan wants to destroy our walk with God. He wants to break down your relationship with God. Satan wants to break down your relationship with your spouse and your family and your church. If he can get you away from all, if he can cause division, he's doing his job. We ought not let him cause that, amen? Never forget the devil is your adversary. Never forget the devil is your enemy. Listen, the devil's out to destroy and devour you all and all those around you. Not just you, but your family members too. So if you go down, your family's going with you. God wants us to be sober and vigilant, to be aware of what's going on in our life, to be alert and watchful. And for things that we allow, he wants us to, look up here. He wants us to be vigilant and watchful for the things we allow into our life. I'm glad Pastor Dave's preaching on music, because bad music getting into our life can hurt us. Bad internet can get into your life and ruin your life and your family's. Bad TV can get in your life. If you're watching bad things on TV, it'll affect your life. Your music, what you see, where you go, what you do, how you speak, all that affects your life. And so we need to be vigilant and sober about that. Make sure what we do, God approves of it. Today, I was thinking back when I was a young preacher. Last night I was. I went back to December 7th, 1980. 10 more minutes, I'll quit. Getting near 7. Don't crink your head. Usually I'm not here on this day. I'm usually preaching in Toledo for several years. Every year, of course, I told him not to call me the last couple of years. I didn't feel up to go, and I didn't want to be away from you this year. But they usually have me preach at the Lighthouse Baptist Church on their anniversary. Today, Billy, December 7th, 1980, 34 years ago, Rosie and I and the kids started a church on Galena Street. 34 years ago. Man. At times, it just seems like yesterday, Mac, and you know, you that have got silver hair know what I'm talking about. It just seems like things that we did were like yesterday. Like Jerry Mons holding the brake. So that doesn't go with this message. But I just thought about it. That's a McDaniel thing. They know what we're talking about. December 7th, 1980, we were building the kennel, and it's a joke. It's an inside joke. He didn't let up on the brake either, did he? He held it together. 34 years ago, I went down and started a church for God, North Toledo. I remember Rose and I started it, and Tammy and Dave were just real little kids. We were in a little storefront. It was a factory, Donnie. If I look at the pictures, it was a little factory. Josh, you couldn't even get hardly 70 people in there. Then it'd be maxed out. I looked at the pictures that we took the first day, and we didn't even have curtains on the wall. We were just happy to paint the greasy floor over with Sears gray paint. I remember someone got me a free piano, and it was bright orange. I don't know where they got it at. Maybe Rosie remembers, but it was a bright orange. We later got a new piano. But I remember that. I remember going back. 22 people showed up for Sunday school, and 26 people showed up for church. I remember the sixth week, we were 6 weeks old, we had 66 people. And God just kept blessing it. That first Easter, the Resurrection Sunday there, we were about 3 months old. I remember preaching, and they opened up the door. They opened up the doors, and we put a few more chairs in that little foyer type what they had there. And then they opened the church door, and people went home and got their chairs from their house. They had them sitting on the sidewalks, right out by the curb. 141 people that day. Several got saved. Matter of fact, we were not there quite 9 years. We had over 1,000 recorded. We had over 1,000 recorded. I have a motive for telling you this. We had over 1,000, we had more than 1,000, but we had over 1,000 recorded slips on salvation where people literally asked Christ to save them. We had some big days there. Then we moved down to the library, the Germain Library. And that's where they're at right now. Had lots of days in the 200s. This vacation Bible school, 300 or 400. I think the highest we had around on a regular church service was around 270. I'm saying that for a reason. We started that church, and I'm glad we did, because you know why? I just obeyed God. The most important thing you can do in your life, if God tells you to do something, obey God. We had over 1,000 recorded personal decisions for Christ. Pastor Dave was one of them. And I'm glad I went down there. That's a sobering thought when you think about look, the reason I said over 1,000 people saved, that was recorded. There was way more than, we had a lot of people that we never, like we went on visitation, stuff like that, out in the park, Riverside Park. We had hundreds of people saved, we never got papers on, but I had over 1,000 recorded professions of faith in those eight years and 9 months. And I'm glad I went. And I got a note here for you. That's a sobering thought. I'm trying to work on that thought, a sobering thought. That's a sobering thought. What can happen when you obey God? You say, God can never use me. He can use you. It's just a matter of us being willing to do what he tells us. Hey, I was a street kid, pretty near an alcoholic before I got saved. Maybe I was an alcoholic. I know I was a juvenile delinquent. I'm not proud of it, but I was. What can happen if we just obey God? Think about it. That's a sobering thought. I just gave you a sobering thought. What if Brother Josh would not have intervened in your life? Are you still with me? You don't know. Look up here. Those Hattie Lorham and all the different ministries. You bus workers and all you different workers in different ministries. You don't ever realize what you're affecting. You're affecting a lot of people's lives. And what if I wouldn't have been obedient and went down there? There was multi-thousands of people, Brother Mike, that got reached for Christ. Would they have got reached? Would Pastor Dave be here right now? And I wouldn't obey God? I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God, by the way. I'm just saying this. How important is it for you and I to obey the will of God and do His will? You know, we had some ups and downs. By the way, what would happen if we did? If I wouldn't have went, if I would have disobeyed God, say, no, I'm not going down to Galena Street. Boy, I never would have had the life I had here. You know, we had some down there in Galena. We had some ups and downs for 9 years, but I'm glad I went. I'm glad I obeyed God and responded to His call to go to the people I grew up with. Been 34 years. I might call Jeff Rieger today. I haven't called him. I've tried to find his number. It's been 34 years since that first service. And did you know what? The people had church service down there today. The Word of God got preached there today. For 34 years now, on that little corner in Galena Street. By the way, Bob and Sonia, too bad I didn't run them off. I still got them on my computer. They were down there about a month ago or so, and they just had their pictures taken in front of that sign. I wish I had that sign when I was pastor. The guy that asked me brought the good sign. I had one that I took from the government and painted over it. It was already there. Amen. I told you I was a juvenile delinquent. God can save those guys. I had it professionally painted. That's not bad, amen, Brother Mike. Well, they were just going to throw it away. It was a community sign. They were no longer there. I figured I could use it. It was already put in. Some white paint, and then a printer to come and put up Lighthouse Baptist. Worked for years. The people had church service today. There's a church down there. It's been there for 34 years. That's a sobering thought when you think about it. Knowing that God kept that light down and the gospel of Christ down there for 34 years now because we went down there and Rosie had a sacrifice. And my kids had a sacrifice. But because they did, there's people being reached for Christ today. Don't ever think that what you're doing for Christ doesn't matter. It matters a lot. I'm glad we were obedient to the call of God. And I know one thing. I guess that's what I'm trying to stress to you. Everything matters what we do. Say that with me. Everything matters what we do. It's 7 o'clock. I'll be 5 more minutes. The people you are reaching out today really matters. The buses really matter. The different ministries and missionaries, Hattie Lorham, all those, and I'm not going to name every ministry. Every ministry matters. It matters. Look up here. It matters. Whatever you're doing for Christ, I want some of you say, oh, I really don't. Some of you think, what's the use? It don't really matter if I run my bus route this week. It matters. It matters. It matters. It matters. It matters. Someone's eternity's in the balance. It matters. It matters what we do. Be sober. Be vigilant. I mean, be alert. Man, everything about our life, it matters. I'm glad God brought me to Rosie on Galena Street. I thought about Rosie. Wow. It's a good thing she wore those big curlers in her hair that day. Because I wanted to see what she looked without them. If you ever believed in Martians, I believed it that day because she looked like a Martian. Real big rollers, man. Some of the older ladies know what I'm talking about. Them real big ones. So, remember them real big ones? You guys want, and then usually put stuff around your head, cover it up, so no one would see them. Boink. They must have thought the cap was invisible. But I remember meeting Rosie and starting to go down to her house. I met her mom and dad, and they took me to church, and I heard the word of God, and later I got saved. See, there's no accidents in our life. God don't make no mistakes. It's just if we'll obey God. I'm glad God brought Rosie into my life and met her on Galena Street. I was lost going to hell, and I really don't believe, to be honest with you, I don't think if I would have met Rosie, if I wouldn't have met Rosie, I don't believe I would have got saved. Because I was a heavy drinker. I was in the bars. I was in the back alleys, and usually guys, and most of the guys that grew up with me end up either dead or they're in jail, or they got killed. Because can I tell you something, kids? You don't have to find out what a bar, you don't ever have to go to a bar to find out what's in it. I'm going to tell you exactly what's in it, evil. Amen. By the way, they're all dark. There's never a bar with a light on, they're all dark. Because darkness breeds darkness. Stay away from them. I'm glad God brought me out of it. Had I not met Rosie, though, then that leads me to one of my final points. Not final, but I'm getting there. Here's another sobering thought. If I would not have Rosie, I wouldn't have got saved. If I wouldn't have married, I would never turn to Christ. And by the way, I'm glad here's a sobering thought for every one of you. It really does matter who you marry. It really does matter who you marry. I really believe with all my heart, God has a chosen vessel for every one of us. I really believe God put us together. I really do that. I believe that. Bobby, I believe God put you and Jamie together. You said you weren't even saved yet, but he knew. If you guys wouldn't have been together, I guarantee you would have went the wrong way. I'm glad God gave me Rosie. And she's not happy, but I am. She'll get a payday someday. It's a great message there. Payday someday. Your great is your reward in heaven. But Brother Dave, if I wouldn't have got saved and wouldn't have married Rosie, and by the way, I married the right, where would my life be today? Do you ever think about if you would not have married your wife, where you'd be today? They play a big part in our life. When you get married, don't you marry anyone till you know it's God's perfect will for you to get married. Well, I wish we could teach that more in the churches. You should know when you get married that it's God's will. I don't care about what people think. Is it God's will? If you get God's mate, you'll go. We've had lots of ups and downs, had a lot of trouble. We're still poor. We live week to week. But listen, but we've got what God gave me. Hello? Am I making sense to anybody? Make sure that you seek God, especially for that mate that you're going to spend. That's why we have over 50% divorce rate. People didn't seek God. I have a brother-in-law that's very special to us. He married the wrong girl. Him and his girlfriend broke up. They didn't. And then they both married somebody else and ended up getting divorced. And now they came back and married each other. They've been married for years. They still got that over their head, though. It's important that you marry the right person the first time. Anybody hearing me tonight? Natty's going to marry Jim. I prayed for 2 years for Jim that no girl could get Jim till Natty could get him. Jimmy's hers! Stay away! Get away! Come after you. He's mine. And I believe with all my heart that those two were meant for God to get married. I just hope she doesn't kill him before they get married. Poor Jim going through all those wedding plans. Oh, hope you make it, Jim. I'll give you some of my heart pills. Listen, it really matters who you marry. I really believe God has a chosen vessel for us. Be sober, be vigilant, be watchful for the things that God wants for your life and for your family. I'll close with this. Friday night, Rose and I'll give money, but I very seldom ever go out. Matter of fact, in the wintertime, I don't hardly leave my house, not very often, just maybe to go out to the dog and stuff or go down to get a pizza or something. But Rose and I went Christmas shopping Friday. I must did something funny. Does anybody know what I did? Okay. We went out and bought some presents. And on the way back, I was talking to Rosie about how thankful I was for Bethel. Boy, we've had a wonderful almost 25 years with you. Last 24 years, God has blessed us beyond measure. I'm so glad we put our lives in God's hands. When we came to Bethel, listen to me, I knew 1,000% I was supposed to be here. I knew I was going to be your pastor before you called me to be your pastor. Because God put it in my heart. You're going to Bethel. We knew for a surety that this is where the Lord wanted us to be. And 24 years later, it's proven out to be the right place, and we still want to be here with you. And I close with this thought. I know I have another. I'm going to, in a few weeks, I'll step down from pastoring, but God's not done with me. There's just another stage in my life that God's going to use me. But Dee, I was thinking about this. Boy, I'm so glad We've been here over 24 years. And I'm glad I came when God told me to come here. And I'm completely positive that I've spent a third of my life in Ravenna with the people, more than a third. That's about a third, a little over a third. Bobby, I'm so glad I spent my life here right in the center of God's will. And I hope every one of you, when you do things in your life, especially you young people, I hope if, when you do them, before you do it, that you know what you're about to do is exactly what God wants you to do. See, over 24 years ago, me and Rosie came here. And man, we have had a time here, man. And I've got no regrets. I really don't. I got a lot of rejoicing, but no regrets. Don't live your life. You young people. Boy, I was just your age, man. Remember when we were kids, Carl? Yeah, I can remember I was a kid preacher just like you. Just spitting. Well, then I used to jump on chairs and pews, and man, people would crack up. Don't do that, stupid. I preached off of tops of tables and everything else when I was a kid. I could jump then. I just didn't have the weight. Only 160 pounds then. But don't get to the end of your life. Don't get to the end of your life and say, oh, my lands, why didn't I do that? See, I'm two-thirds through my life at least or more. But I'm glad I served God all my life. I probably could have did a lot better, but at least I stayed in the fight. And you get to the end, Jimmy. I believe the Lord will come back in you kids' lifetime, but if he doesn't, someday before you know it, your hair is going to be silver. Some of you guys are going to lose it like Phil. Amen. Just go everywhere, Brother Phil. That's why now, kids, it's so important while you're young. Walk with God. Know God's heart. Let God have your heart. And make sure every step you take is the step that you know God wants you to take. And boy, Chris, if you'll let God have full control in your life, he'll bless you. I'm all done. I'll say this. I love you, Sailor. Go Navy. I watched this kid here grow up as a little boy. He was 14 years old when I came here. He was as rotten as could be at 14. And he's still as rotten as can be. But he's a good rotten. He's a great kid. I'm proud of you kids. I'm really proud of you. Because he's grown in grace, hasn't he, Grandma? Those kids have come a long ways in their life. By the way, Pastor Dave was talking about that this morning. You know, we all are sinners. We just all got, it takes time to grow. Sean's grown so much, he even grown a beard. Be sober, be vigilant. I'm all done. In your life, God tells us to be sober and to be vigilant. In other words, be watchful. Watch what you're doing. A lot of people could have, we might have saved a lot of lives at Pearl Harbor if we'd have been more sober and more vigilant, watchful. They got caught unexpectedly. Wonder how many lives we could save here in our Christian church if we would have be more watchful, be sober and vigilant in our life. Be sober and be vigilant. Because the devil's a roaring lion. He's out to get you. Look to him. Trust him. Sometimes it's scary to trust him. But trust him anyways. When preacher came here, I had $5 on my wallet. And a man that lived up in Delta, Ohio, that I preached revivals for, they came out of nowhere. And they gave me $50 or $100. They even drove up here with us. God used different people at different times. You just got to trust him. That's what I've learned in my life. I've learned to trust God. Just trust God. And he'll always be your Jehovah Jireh. He'll see and he'll provide. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for tonight. I love these people so much. I want to protect them from the evils of Satan, the vile and the wiles of Satan. Lord, I pray with all my heart that they'll be vigilant. I pray they'll be watchful. I pray they'll be alert to all his cunning devices that would try to tear their life down. Lord, may we learn to seek you. Seek you early in our life. May when we get to the end of our life, may we have less regrets and more rejoicing. Help my people tonight, Father. Help them as they push forward for the cause of Christ to keep a watchful eye that their lives are not destroyed, and that they stay close to you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand.